Now I'm sure that would be what our kind Heavenly Father would want out of me. And with God's help, I'll do the best that I can. And I'm sure you'll do the best that you can to make this what the Lord Jesus would want you to be. And we believe that He will do it. And now, this afternoon, it's the first time that I ever come in like this to see the people. The afternoon meeting at the beginning, usually the manager or someone introduces the apostles and so forth of the church in the first afternoon. But today, it was my lot to come and do this. And most all of you have been in the meeting before, and you know the policy of the meeting is we are not here to proselyte from churches. We are here as interdenominational of brethren to represent the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want to see every church receive benefits from our meeting. And every body, no matter what church or if you don't have any church at all, you're just as welcome as you be. And we trust that these pastors, and it will be blessed. This ministry will be inspired by the presence of the Lord Jesus in these meetings. And then finance, we are not here to take up finance. I wish we didn't even have to ask for one offering in the meeting. But just as soon as the I never took an offering in my life. Never in my life did I ever take any offering. And in my church when I was a pastor there, Baptist minister, for 12 years, I never received one penny salary. But I always thought I was, the Lord made me healthy and I could work. So why not work as a pastor? Now, that's not an example for other pastors, you know. Learning later that a minister of the gospel can't go out and work the slave and then come in and do his church justice. He's got the business money, the members, and so forth. And those tithings and things, the members and the offerings would certainly help take care of it. And I think the labor is worthy of the time. But in my case, I was working in conservation things that I like, out in the woods. I like to work, so I just work. And in all these, we just, they have usually make a budget of how much the auditorium costs to stay, and the expenses and budget it all down to see how much you have to get for each hall. As soon as that's taken up, I ask the managers all the time to stop getting offers. As soon as the expenses is made, that's it, that's all. And then at the end of the offering, at the end of the services, rather, they usually give me a love offering. And I wish I didn't have to have that, but I have a family and I have to have my expenses put on in the service to not run around $100 a day in my office work and so forth. And I pay my health. And then at the end of the services, if there isn't enough to take care of all the expenses that haven't been met without begging and pulling on people, I just absolutely refuse to do this. I don't believe in that. Someone says that's the reason you're poor is what you are. Well, I'm going to do that and have faith with God and do it the other way. But if they don't take it, then I give my love all the way. And then if you don't have it, then we stand in bar. I have a bank that will let me have up as much as $5,000 without signing from an old arrangement. They love me, so they trust me to do it. And I'm thankful for that. And so far, by the grace of God, we have never had to do that. And I believe as long as I will try to live true to God and be honest in my heart with God and His children, I'll never have to do it. That's like how we look at it. And we want to keep that clear always before the people. And our meetings are not big, great big, where we have to have thousands tonight. I don't have any radio broadcast, television, or anything, printing papers, and so forth. So I won't take very much. And I can minister to the people as many as I can in the little meetings, and that's the way I just run the team like that. And so I can visit the people and do the best that I can to help. Knowing this, each day I'm getting older, and someday I've got to stand in His presence to give an account for my sins. not that I am a divine healer. Anyone knows that. I think people that really thinking mentally right know that there's no man is a divine healer. That lays in God alone. And I never did receive any power to heal good people. And if others say they did, well, that I hope and trust that that is the truth. I would like to see our Lord Jesus come down and give people power to heal sick. But I don't think he ever did do it, and even himself he didn't claim to do it. So I doubt very much whether he ever will be that way. He said himself that he was a healer. He said, it's not me that does work, it's my Father. He's the one that does the work. He said, I can do nothing to myself, but what I see the Father doing, that I do also. In other words, he just acted wrong on what the Father showed him to do. And that's the way it is now. I just could see, and when he shows me anything, I want to be obedient to him and tell the people just what he told me. So, and if ever is the time that you ever see it, that this was the Word of God, it doesn't compare with this, well, then I'm wrong. No matter what it is, it's wrong. It's got to be the doctrine. I believe that in the Old Testament, they had prophets, dreamers, seers, so forth. But they had a way of proving those things. And what they were right. If a dreamer dreamed a dream or a prophet prophesied, and it is the light that flashed on the Urim sun, which was on the Aaron's breast face, the supernatural, answered back that it was true. No matter how sincere the person seemed to be, it's wrong. And I think that is the doing away of the Urim sun as on the Aaron's breastplate, I believe this is God's Urim today in this world. If a dreamer dreams a dream or a prophet prophesies, and according to the word, misleading in the word, then this kind of time to be a person would think that. I believe that this is God's foundation, plan of salvation, and all the attributes that follows in death, burial, and resurrection. It lays in the word of God. And so far, I've never seen yet in a meeting that I know of anything that was ever said that was a backup of the scripture. Now, I'm talking about this theology of different churches, but just look at it, listen a little while, and you'll find out that it lays back in the scripture. And Jesus, when he came on earth, his ministry certainly didn't fit the theology of that thing as much as they thought he was a mind reader or because he was receiving the thoughts, and he had a supernatural work that, well, they finally said he was just the devil, the Beelzebub. And it didn't fit with their teaching, but it did fit with God's word. The Bible said so, and they didn't have read it in that line. And history repeats itself ever so often, and every scripture perhaps has a compound meaning to it. I don't know what it is, my brethren. I guess they have to realize that. For instance, Matthew 3, where it said that, as it is written about Jesus, there is out of Egypt I have called my son. Matthew, according to scripture that was used in the Old Testament, about Egypt, he is God called his son. You'll read the Mark reading on that, it refers back to calling Israel out of Egypt. But also Israel was his son, and also Jesus was his son. So the same scripture was applied twice. Out of Egypt, I call my son, and many other places in the Bible. And we believe it, the promises, and we have a repeat today. And I hold on many promises, Methodist, Catholic, Pentecostal, all together. On these things, we try to draw lines upon a man's doctrine of his church. We believe this, that every person that's born again of the Spirit of God are sons and daughters of God, regardless of what church they go to. And those segregations and so forth that they have, we call the denominational errors, we try to overlook that, stand out and preach. I've asked them to start, and I left the Baptist Church to do that, and come to the preach and said, we are done. Let us come together. We can't agree upon these doctrines and so forth. There's no two ways you're agreeable on the same way. destruction of my brothers as long as it doesn't interfere with the plans that God is ordaining me to do. And so we'll get into that later. This afternoon, coming together, I thought it would be nice this afternoon while together. And we would, I would tell you about my trip that you all just helped sponsor the San Diego. And you would you like to hear about the trip? And we will talk on the mission for the next 30 minutes or so forth. And a few people here, I thought, remember when we were here last year before going to India, you gave an offering here, a missionary offering for us. Not that it would all be saved, you gave it the same way, but it goes to the glory of God. And I think I'm going to you to tell you how that what becomes of the missionary offering you gave me and what I went to do. And before we start on this and reason of God's word, He has not promised to bless my word, but He has promised to bless His. So my word will fail because I said the name. But His word can't fail because He's God. And so that's, before we read it, let's ask Him to be with us now to bless the building, the place that we're standing up together for His glory. We want to thank Him. They have been nice to me wherever I went. They've opened up their doors, and when I've been making a tent to the bad weather, they throw their doors open and say, come. Frankly, I'm the only one of my family, and my father or my mother's people or also my wife's people, that's not either making Schneiders or something in the organization. And may God bless them. It is my prayer that they will, everyone, now we realize we'd like to say this, that everyone will be Christian. If the church can't produce everyone to be Christian, how much more our organization could. But we pray this, that the Lord Jesus Christ, in His mercy, will save every one of them before they leave this earth. God bless you all. And I'll be now here to talk to this great prince. Our kind loving Father, we come to Thee today in that all sufficient name of the Lord Jesus, knowing this, that He has promised that whatever You ask in My name, that I will do. And we come presenting Him, not ourselves. For God has never promised you that you would answer in our name, but you promised to answer in His name. So we place Him before us as we go to Thee. Hear us, Lord, as we speak through Jesus. We thank Thee for the opportunity that we have of meeting here in this great city, sitting here in the desert, by the name of Phoenix. Something that's raised up out of chaos. And we pray, Father, that by this great city that You'll raise up out of the chaos of this generation, a marvelous church of living God, filled with the Spirit, anointed, great man of God, may come from the city proclaiming the message around the world. Let every church in this city, every pastor, and we pray that You'll bless the officials, bless the organization here that open up their doors for us to have their temple here to worship in. Father, we pray that the Holy Spirit will come into this temple today and anoint this place. Let your angel take his position, place, set his seat. Let every person comes to the threshold of this temple from henceforth, may be so filled with the Holy Spirit that their life will be completely dedicated to Thee. We now, in the name of our Son, the Lord Jesus, dedicate this place for this revival, that this song. Bless the usher, the pastor, all, and the minister that shall minister from this platform. Anoint them with the Holy Spirit with thy message. Very timely for the hour that we're now serving thee. Grant it, Lord. For give us now our many sins, we place our thoughts and iniquities before thee, that thou wilt blot them out by the washing of the word of the water. Separate us from all uncleanness, evil thoughts, selfish thoughts, all works that not pertain to thee. May we forgive for those things, and may we go here with pure hearts and clean minds to serve thee. Grandfather, for we commit it all to you now, in the name of thy Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. Can you hear me well along the side? If you can, you raise your hand and say it again. Over here, all right. The back, way back and back. You hear pretty good back there. That's fine. Now, you lead in prayer, and the Holy Spirit lead. Now, first, we want to read some of His Word. And just for a portion of the day, talking on visions, I thought it would be nice to read from the St. Mark of the 16th chapter. And beginning with the 14th verse. As he appeared unto the 11, as they sat at feast, and upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not that which had seen him after he was risen. He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. May the Lord add His blessings to the reading of His Word. This commission that was given by our Lord was to preach the gospel to all the world. Now, sometimes we wonder, and in my heart, I do not try to premeditate on what to say until I get to the platform, because I'm not a scholar and my grammar's very bad. And if I would write down something to talk from, no one else could read it, and I doubt very much whether I can read it or not. So it wouldn't do me any good, so I would have to depend on him to tell me what to say. And I've gotten by for 23 years, I'm willing to trust him on. And so, he who brought his saved us far. Now, I believe that down in my heart that this index for the last few days to preach on the second coming of the Lord Jesus, that I tried Chicago, I tried, I was going to do it, meeting in New York, come on down to Lubbock, I was going to do it there, and tried, thought I'd do it the other night at Shreveport. I'm even going to make it as easy if I can. So, on the second coming, and now I'm writing a book, not one like my others, because they are written by other people, and I'm not a scholar, so you could probably understand how that's rad talking, so I'm just going to write my own words, kind of like a commentary on divine healing and my own personal dealings with the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit being with me, and on dump down all the human race to this age, out of which all the blessings will be dumped out as it was the poor now, brother, by our Heavenly Father among the church in this last day. And what a day that we're living in. Oh, the dust, brother, I hope I can see it coming. I'll be there anyhow, but I just hope I live to see the day when I see it coming from Arizona across the world, joining hands together, going in the air. What a day that'll be. My whole heart yearns for that. And realize that atomic bombs, Kaiser bombs, Molotov bombs, hands in the hands of wicked enemies, shall command to destroy this whole world within a few hours. Completely overnight, already got the weapons to do it with, into the hands of ungodly, sinful people. You would do it themselves, just to go with it, that's all. Infidelity. And what a day we're living in. Let God get this church ready. Oh, if we could just lay it by the flesh now and open our eyes and see what God is doing. Now, I know we got tags and things, but I recognize that. Just the fanatics and stuff, the crazy stuff. But remember the same thing taking place just before the real Jesus appeared the first time. And we're bound to add much more just before he appears the second time. So that only gives life to the believer to be ready for the hour is at hand. Now, today is my humble belief that the scripture that I just read is one of the greatest and most essential messages that can be preached today. However, I'm not aiming to preach on that. I'm just using that for a basic scripture for the talk of missionary experience. But we're wondering what's left to happen before Jesus comes. I believe it's happening today. Now, Jesus never did tell us to go build church. Our goal, so that's good. Jesus never did tell us to have an organization, so that's good. He never did tell us to build hospitals, so that's good. He never did tell us to have seminaries, so that's good. But the thing that he told us to do, we have substituted these things that I've just spoken in place of what he told us to do.
Amen.
Going into all the world and preach the gospel. Not build churches, not organize people, not educate men, but preach the gospel. Jesus said, give a few signs, he asked, but here are some, the great signs, that he promised to return. He said, when this gospel has been preached to all the world for our witness, then he would return. And he won't return, he can't return, until that has been done. Jesus is depending on the church to carry out his orders. And we substituted teachings of theology and so forth, and left off the real main commission that he told you to do. Preach the gospel. Well then, some of you would say, well, Brother Brand, haven't we preached the gospel all these years? With reverence, I say no. Did you know that two-thirds of the world has never even heard one word from Jesus Christ? Two-thirds of the population of this world has never heard the Lord Jesus Christ. One-third in Christianity is about three or four places behind. First of all, Muhammad, Buddhism, and so forth, then Christianity, including all the Protestant Catholics are together. See how far we are behind? Then, in fact, then we have our differences between each other, between the Catholic and the Protestant, this, the full gospel, the evangelical, and so forth. Everyone's different, one from another, five against one another. Do you see? Let's just stop a few minutes and think about these things, and let's get down to, I love great joy. That's one of the fruits of the Holy Spirit, is joy. We should be happy and rejoice. But there's got to be time that we've got to shut the farm before we It's one way of doing it. And I think the tract society has done a greater job at getting their part done than we gospel preachers are doing to get our part done.
Amen.
Right? Because we know the competition never is to get up. The gospel is not going out and teaching the Bible. That isn't the gospel. And it's written in the scriptures that the gospel didn't come to be just the word only, but through the power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit. The gospel, that is the word, but the letter giveth. The Spirit giveth life. Now, a seed laid here on the back pulpit here is just a seed. Until it dies and becomes germified, germifies and dies, it will never do anything. So the seed, the word here, has to be made manifest in order to be the gospel. It says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Now, if you think of what the Word was, before a word is the expression of thought. It has to be a thought before it can be a word. So God, in the beginning, gave the thought of what would be, spoke the word for it to be. We receive the word, and it produces what God called us. The word is, the gospel is seed form. If you ask me for, say, Brother Vance, in your country they have acorn trees. Would you give me an acorn tree, and I'll give you an acorn? You have an acre tree potentially, but it's in the seed form. You can't say you have absolutely got a tree until the seed has produced a tree. Well, preaching the word is the acorn, but making it live is the gospel.
Amen.
That's right. If he promised the Holy Spirit, that's the word. And receiving the Holy Spirit is made it live, manifested. If he promised these blessings by the word, then accepting the word and producing what it says is the gospel. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The very next line of proof says, just teaching the word what to do, that these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils, evil spirits, speak with new tongues. Take up serpents or drink anything that would harm them, lay their hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Now that is the gospel that has theology and teaching have substituted that place. Now I believe that we're living in the day when the Holy Spirit is moving among the hearts of people, regardless of how much criticism, how much fanaticism. God's under obligation to take that church out of Gentiles just as certainly as I stand on the platform. And he'll do it. And I believe that it's moving out and coming forth. Therefore, my heart burns. I'll say this. I'll realize that I'm not talking to all America, but I'm talking to America, or such as we call America. The real American is the Indian. Choctaw in this land, we got away from it. But we call ourselves American. But I believe that the great calling of the revival in America has been turned down by the American people at home. They just simply can't perceive, the word. There's been enough gospel preached in the form of the word across America that has this country a second world view. But they turn it down. And great evangelists, Billy Graham, Jack Shuler, many other great men, old fathers, have crossed the country preaching the gospel. traveling overseas, going into Africa, different places. Then I'll be by force the last time I'm in here, we had gospel first meeting in Africa, where we had 30,000 converts more than we served. By seeing the gospel. Then when we started in India, after coming to here telling you that I was taking a trip to India, our first stop was, after we left New York, was to live with Portuguese. There, the man with us, Mr. Rob Bomber, a German man, who knows about all the celebrity ideas around the world. I met there with the governors and princes and so forth. They had a little dinner. And I got a chance to testify of the glorious gospel in their presence. Portuguese is almost 100% Catholic. They don't go to church with them, but they're just a systematic church, so they're Catholic by only Portuguese. That way some people think they're Christians because they're them. I don't mean you're a Christian. Because your father and mother is a Christian, no sign you're a Christian. You're a Christian when you're born again in the Spirit of Christ. But in there, we found a little Pentecostal church way back down on the hillside. Oh, they're just stuck everywhere. And there the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Pharaoh chopped the head off the beast and also went this way to wash down the sewer. And I thought, God, my Bible, you mean so much to me. I see that he was inspired. Right, that next day, he wanted to show me a big church, one of the great masses going on all the time. And I went down there and they had a high mass, or some sort of a mass. And there was a lady taking me in, and I went down to the evening place where they got the graveyard. And they buried all the monks until the plague is gone from their bones. Then they take the bones and make the building out of it, all the light fixtures, the little pennier bones and things, maybe the light fixtures and so forth, they come out of our human bones. And some more laying in the graves, and then they dig up their bones and just make it like a graveyard underneath the church. And now, standing there, something struck me. About all those corners where the skull of those monks was, the travelers from the different parts of the world going in there had rubbed those skulls so that almost rubbed holes in them. They were white, or the rest of us colored, black colored, dark brown, but they rubbed that to give a blessing. All the skulls are dead men. I thought how superstitious people can be. There was one lady there that I admired. That was a little sign hanging in the back. Said, remember, traveler, we once was as you are now, and you someday will be as we are now. That gives you something to think about. The next day, Baron von Rossler had I was to be interviewed by the Pope. So they, Baron had made arrangements for me to meet the Pope of Rome, which he said he would do it on the beach. I asked Baron von Rossler what I was to do. I know a meeting king, how they respect the kings do over there in Egypt and so forth, how they have to dress you, so I had to meet the Pope. And they told me that I had to kiss this ring on his finger and call him Father. I'll give any man due credit, doctor, or whatever he may be, but to worship a man, that's different. I don't mind. I said, I don't want to see you. I don't want to do any kind of worship to a man. Worship goes to God. Now, that's their way of doing it. That's the Catholic way of doing it. That's their faith. That's all that's up to them. But for me, that's a little different. The Bible said, don't you call no man father. So I couldn't do it. My conscience wouldn't let me do it. The Holy Spirit forbid me to do it. So I found a little Pentecostal mission way back in the corner, right in the shadow of the Vatican City, and went out there and had a great healing campaign for about 3 nights of God's flesh and the Holy Ghost fell. They ran down the valley around the Vatican City down there. The people up and down the street tonight, I was screaming and shouting and praising God. So I had to leave there. So, returning on towards all over into Cairo, up into Lebanon, into Arabia, and from Arabia on to Bombay. Being met there with the ministers and so forth, great delegations, the excellency shirts, reeds to go around your neck, and they had a great big pool up there, and they got all thrown away. Each one had to wear it and push it off, I guess. Garments, I think they called it. And so then we went to the top of the Java Hotel and they made our room to stand for our seat. And there's been some lady that went in there ahead of me and about 6 or 8 months, or maybe a little longer. church. And imagine in the mayor himself told me that there were 500,000 people in the city that come there for the healing services, for the meeting. And you can imagine what they would meet in the streets of Bombay. And they had a great big church there, some kind of a Episcopal church, way, way to that side of this auditorium. The great big yard got service, it covered about a half acre, and there were six microphones, and the people were block after block that the ex patrol car out there with these walkie-talkies trying to make room for me to come down the automobile to get to the place to go raise the stick. You never seen such in your life. People in that right corner would go on top of the message. I've often thought to people that America had poor people, but there's not one poor man in America as I've seen Indians. If you go down the street this afternoon and you see a man eating his dinner out of a garbage can, it's not poor. That's either a mental condition or a preference. We've got charity here. We've got organizations of charity that are helping. We got an old man's home, old people's home. We got everything there that are helping. There isn't anything on earth but what to help them. He's either mentally upset or he prefers to do it. That's his preference. Now, well, when you see a man in India, he hasn't got nothing to help. And I'm not there to say what we're saying to eat and so forth like that. A lot of men need to be sent in a lot of different ways to work his hand. But, I didn't say that. I could say a whole lot, but I won't. But, anyhow, I have my ideas and my thoughts in my heart. But in there is one of the most pathetic signs of human beings ever seen. I walk to South Africa and I see the colored people there living in a little bedroom hut. That poor little fellow never had a bath in their life and didn't go right to that man. I thought that was something sad. But I forgot about that when I see Indians. To see them in the streets, lepers with little stuffed hands, little children with holy babies that big around set in their eye, little mothers on the street with their poor little babies, the little chalks sunk in, and their little hands on the left eye and reaching out, screaming, crying, and dying for food. And we break it off in the garbage can. Listen! I want to tell you something. This is just on the side. You know what the Bible said in the last days of demons wake up? They're doing it too. When I've seen Americans get off the ship there and the way they acted before those poor people, and they'd be ashamed. A little old boy with a big foot like that, dragging along like that, trying to help a couple of self-starched Americans to walk out there and they took their hands like this, walk away that poor little fella. God have mercy, fire! And we call ourselves Christians because we're Americans. Listen, let me tell you, there's that man up there, a little chief stump riding or something around his place. The old fellow sitting there, never seen a pair of shoes clothes in India, never seen a person with clothes on them for a long time. The little lady, that arm was that big on any of those men, just about like that little city lady, no shoes on, coming down the street. Of course, they were in there, they never were, I'll admit that. Walking the streets like that old star monkey hanging behind him, walking on, he'll walk right to this fall down the street later, that's all the home he got. He don't own nothing. He ain't got nobody to feed him. If he's able to get up, he'll get up. If he don't, he'll die there. They'll come on, pick him up the sideline, put him up on a little thing like that, take him over to a big chute and a big cylinder, and throw him in there and scream at him. Little old boy, it's pitiful to eat here that much food every 2 or 3 days, no matter if it's dry out or coconut bone or whatever it is. He can live. And now you can imagine what it is. They got natural resources, but not the mentality to develop what they got. Old man sitting there in his little old place, there's a mud puddle there. His wife washes in the mud puddle. children from the same thing. And then the great people of this world pass by, big blue ships, Cadillacs, buying gold and rich, and yet they tell us they tell him that we're all come from one man. We're all the evil. What happened? What's happening there? Like all the rest of the world. Communism is taking over. And we're the cause of
it. Amen,
brother. Communism comes in with a false economy and promises something falsely. Oh, sure, that's all. Look at what these fellows have done, so forth, like the capitalists and so forth. They got all the money into it. And the poor guy doesn't know that he's falling into the clutches of the devil. But he's promising something. You know why? It's because we, with all our money, bought whiskey caps, beer caps, and things like that, and the church has any part to send a missionary over there.
Hold down that building.
trying to get some meat with the little Reuben. You think we're doing right as a nation? Should we, Christian people, be helping something like that instead of burning up all the meat, stuff out on the prairies, dumping out the wheat, stuff out in the ocean? You're sowing and reaping when you're doing
that.
It's true. I know what it hurts. Remember, I was born here, this is my home. Greatest nation in the world. But brother, on the matter of Christianity, we are failing. Because we have let things go the way we had. And then when we go over there, I said, that night when we went out to the meeting, they get in there, it was almost impossible. The next day, I was entertained by 17 different religions of India. Think of it. 17 different religions, each one of them on Christianity. They took me to the temple of the Jains. Now they have the Mohammed, the Hindu, the Sikh, the Jain, the Buddha, the whole bunch. Some worship cows. The Jains, I'll explain that, call this in their monastery. They can't cut their hair, they can pull it out with their fingers. They can't cut their beard, so they pull it out with their fingers. And they have to have a paper thing that goes over their mouth and hooks around their ear called their prayer. If they breathe a magnet by their dead mother or father, they probably love another life. Reincarnation. They have those things that they sweat before as they went, because they might step on their uncle or aunt or someone who would have died and come back in the form of a flea or something. Isn't that horrible? Those people naturally as men and women are our brothers and sisters. If you were dying, they could give you a blood transfusion to save your life. Did you know that a Chinese, a colored man, or whoever it is, that God said with one blood all men? But you know the first second animal blood in you kill you? And no animal can transfuse one another's blood from one species to another. See how God did it? We never come from an animal, we come from God! Now, I'm going to tell you in that condition. I'll have to hurry. And notice, when we got me to the, went to the services that night, or to the sand services, they take us in, they had to take their shoes off. Walked in, they had a baby pill, and sent out to the high priest, and the head of all this, set before me. They're standing over your ground, and there's 17 different religions represented there. So each one of them looking at me, he's sitting out there in the middle like this, looking at them. And so they get up and ask the church. And one of them says, you all in America call yourselves Christians. Call yourself religious. And says, you find every scientific research that you can on finding some kind of a bomb or something that'll kill your fellow man. He said, you take your book and call the Bible. God bless you. Someone else on the bottom would thank you, friend. Before the sun sets this afternoon, I don't say when, but it might be over. There's not the red form taking you with your eyes. When you now, while you're in your right mind, just lift up your hands to the Lord. I'm now being baptized. Bowing to the lamp which you somewhere where it's reading. God bless you, God bless you, my little brother. God bless you. Somewhere else along the line there, raise your hand, not to be with the Lord. The Lord, by this, I want you to remember me when I die. I want you to remember the Lord. Since the day in this trial auditory, I raise my hand to accept Jesus Christ as my Savior in my heart. And I'll be old, right? Somebody raise up your hand. Lord, this is my hand. Here I am. Purge me, Lord. Take all sin and iniquity out of my heart. Someone, any word that's been a backslider, would raise your hand and say, oh, I've just tried so hard. I've come a while and go a while. I just can't seem to be established. Friends, you never believe in your heart. Jesus said, he said, here's my word, and believe it on me. And shall never come into condemnation, was already passed in death and life, because he had believed from his heart the Son of God. Not just from his mind, from his heart. It's not past there. It's your heart with you now, no matter what your mind says, your heart believes. Now, if you wander away and left a halfway back to the night, you want to come today, just raise your hand anywhere on the bottom floor, back to the want to read new with God? Up in the balcony, on the right or left, a backslider will be there, placed in Christ. God bless you. Someone else, or even say, I'm renewing my position now in Christ. I'm coming back now with a full assurance in my heart that God takes me into it. Is there someone here without the born again, without the Holy Spirit? Say, God, I now want to receive the Holy Ghost. I have believed. But I have not yet received the Holy Spirit, not yet been born of the Spirit in my heart. Because I know in my mind I believe every word the Bible says. I believe the churches, I believe the pastors, I believe all. But yet I have experienced that in my heart, the peace of my mind, like rivers, making me love God with an unfailing, dying love. Makes you love everybody, no matter what they do against me. I love them, I can't help it. I want that experience. That's when you're born again. If you have that experience, yes, you're a Christian believer, but you have not accepted that or have experienced that. Would you raise your hand and say, brother, about this, I raise my hand to God. God bless you, brother. God bless you, sister. God bless you. You, that's my brother. Father, they were baptized, you paid.